the spring training money lines lately. And if I'm just putting that out there as a PSA, if you're regularly betting spring training baseball, you might have a problem. I don't know. I'm not an expert on those things. It's just me offering a little bit of expertise from where I am in the sports world. You might have a problem. You might want to ask someone who knows whether you do or you don't. Anyways, we're here to talk hoops. We've got the Missouri Valley Conference men's basketball tournament coming up, starting tomorrow in St. Louis. Iowa and Iowa State wrapping up their regular seasons with their conference tournaments next week. So who else? The coach, ESPN college basketball analyst, Kevin Lehman, joins us now. Follow him on X at @KLehmanSports. Coach, thanks for being here. How are you, man?
My pleasure. And I thought that was a commercial for 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Yeah, they should send me a little something, you would think. I'm out here trying to help society, coach. And I try to help. And anyways, let's try to help the Iowa Hawkeyes. They're coming off a loss at Penn State, 71-69 on Saturday. That was deflating to watch when I was tuned into that on Saturday. Like, what the hell was that?
Well, you go into an arena like that, Bryce Jordan, there's nobody in there. You got to generate your own energy. And you got a Penn State team like that. They got nothing to lose. I'm sure they had this one circled for some time, and they shot it with like 65% from the field. Hawks shot it pretty well, but I think there's a stat on there. The turnovers, points off turnovers, was like 17-4 by Iowa, and they still lost. They had 19 or 18 more shots at the basket and lost. They just didn't guard in that one, Cole. That gives a little life for this Michigan game because Iowa rarely has two bad performances at the defensive end in a row.
Well, and I saw some, go figure, some idiots on social media that, you know, they're not saying, like, fire Ben McCollum, but they're like, well, maybe this guy isn't the genius we all thought he was type thing. And I'm like, what the hell do you think this team's record would be with Fran McCaffrey? And I don't want to make this a back the bus over Fran McCaffrey thing, but there's no way. Like, best case scenario, Fran's like 500 with this team.
Well, you got to give a guy a chance to get some recruits in. He really brought that team from Drake over. And I predict at the beginning of the season they go 10-10, be a bubble team. They're going to be a little better than a bubble team on the right side of it. But Michigan and at Nebraska, I think it's going to be a 10-10 in the Big Ten. And the Big Ten's got players, as we've talked about. You know, you got those teams at the top, Michigan, Illinois, Michigan State. I wouldn't even put Purdue in that upper echelon. Then you got that next group of, you know, Wisconsin, Purdue. And I was nipping at the heels of those, even with 1 year and year number one for McCollum. So I think there's good things to come.
Well, and you got to remember, Coach, we got to make sure we leave room for Bruce Pearl's son, his Auburn team, that's 7-10 in the SEC and 16-14 overall, because they got to be in, I would say, probably over Iowa, just like they got to be in Auburn does over 30-0 Miami of Ohio.
There's some guys you shouldn't give a microphone to, partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about that? You know, I think if you go undefeated, if you're off 30 games in any league, you should be in the NCAA tournament. It's going to be like Indiana State 2 years ago. They're going to get beat maybe by Akron, the championship, and then we'll get on the outside looking in. Good luck in the NIT.
Yeah, that's BS if that's what happens. I will say, though, and I'm always fighting for these Miami of Ohio types, they're 363 out of 365 in non-conference strength of schedule. I know it's not easy for mid-majors to schedule, but there's got to be a way that they can do a better job than that. Now, maybe this is kind of a bit of a fluke year, an aberration, and, you know, next year they're, you know, 138 or whatever, or 188. But, man, 363 out of 365, that's not going to help.
Well, if you're in coaching and you got a good team coming back, you need to schedule up. I remember the year Evansville had those kids coming back. It was the year Wes Washburn beat them with that last-second shot. And the Valley had them all scheduled to play some really good teams when those players were juniors. Those would all be return games as seniors at home, and Marty Simmons didn't do it. and they got left. They didn't get make the NIT that year. Remember, yeah, Washington hits a shot to beat them? They never went to NIT because he failed to schedule appropriately. So that's part of the things you have to do as a coach. And Murray State told me, their GM, that they offered a number of Power 5 programs. We'll come and play you. You don't have to pay as a guarantee. We just want to play at your place, you know, to help our resume. No one would take up their offer.
Jeez. That's so pathetic. It is so pathetic. I mean,
well, Cole, you know what else is fun about this week coming up? It used to be all the bid stealers. We have like, yeah, two bid stealers now. I used to have like six or seven that you would follow because of, you know, if they got beat in their championship game, they're going to still get a bid if they're a mid-major, and it would knock out the Auburns of the world. We don't have that anymore. It's taken away from this madness of March.
Well, and the kids these days, you know, in this heartland of the country, they don't know a world where two Valley teams get in the tournament, much less three. That used to be a thing, kids.
Yeah. 2006, we keep reference that one. They had four in. And would have had five. Missouri State like a 23 RPI.
Yeah. Yep.
And they left them out because they didn't want to put five Valley teams, yeah, in. But five deserved to be in that year.
All right. I mean, go figure. We're already finding, yeah, ways to get the Valley into this. Yeah. So let's talk, yeah, about Iowa. You know, let's talk about Iowa State before we really dive in to Arch Madness. I mean, you can't really critique Iowa State too heavily for losses to Texas Tech and then certainly Arizona on Monday. I came out of that Arizona game on Monday, not that I necessarily needed another eye test for the Wildcats, but I'm like, man, Arizona and Michigan sure look like the best teams in college basketball.
Yeah, I think you got to put Duke in there, too. I think those three are above everybody else, so you know, you pick your sleeper after that. Maybe Florida's playing well. Arkansas was. But here's the interesting about this Arizona team. They don't shoot a lot of threes. They're kind of going against conventional NBA model of,
yeah,
threes and layups and free throws. They are an old-school type of team. But, wow, again, we talked about the warts of the Cyclones. That half-court offense has got some problems, and it showed up again in Tucson.
Yeah, and Coach, you got your whistle on right now. You're in the right frame of mind here. I got a question for Coach Lehman. What can we do?
I'm ready.
What can we do, if anything? You know, I don't care if it's kind of a, you know, crazy old trick or something reliable or something somebody told you. Is there anything to where, you know, the freshman hits the proverbial wall that it seems like Killian Torre has hit for Iowa State? Not to the same degree defensively as offensively, but he's hit the freshman wall. Is there any tricks to getting him over the hump, you know, or at least kicking a little bit of life back into him in that freshman year?
Well, luckily, Bateman's played pretty well in his absence, but every player's got to work through it. It's such, you think about that Big 12 grind, and this is a young man who's probably playing, he's probably prep school last year, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
They're playing 30 games and against quality. Half of those teams aren't anywhere near their quality. So, plus, here's the other thing that's going on, Cole. They're starting in June. Think,
yeah,
about that as your 18, 19-year-old. You're starting heavyweight practices in June, and now you're looking at February, March. When's this thing going to end is what he's thinking.
All right, ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman, our guest right now. He is en route to St. Louis for the Missouri Valley Conference men's basketball tournament. And, Coach, 1-7 seeds here, in order, Belmont, Bradley, Illinois State, Murray State, UIC, UNI Panthers, Valpo Beacons. Any of those seven teams, or are there any of those seven teams that you would cross off and say they're not going to win it?
I think Valpo's too young. I like them physically. They're too young. What are you talking about, the top seven seeds?
Yeah.
I don't know if Illinois State's got enough offense to win three games. They've been up and down all year. They're up against the Panthers twice. But I would say those two that you mentioned, you know, I would be all for the Panthers if they didn't have to win four games in this thing because, oh, I did the numbers during that Bradley game when they're playing for second seed. They started the four-game format in 1996, 30 years ago. Two teams have made it from Thursday night to play on Sunday. the odds are so much against you. And I think in that time period, a 4 seed has won it, and 1 5 seed has won it. Everything else has been 1 2s and 3s.
Well, you know what the Panther fans are doing to convince themselves? They're saying, well, Thursday night's different now. You got all these extra teams playing on Thursday. We've only been doing this for a little while.
Well, we had 4 games just last year when Missouri State was still in it. Here's the problem. I think they can win. They're obviously going to beat Evansville. I think they can beat Illinois State. So you have 2 8:30 games. You got to play at 5 against a Bradley team. That's pretty solid. Now, I have no doubt that you and I can give Bradley all they want and possibly win that game. But then you get the Sunday, 11 o'clock tip,
yeah,
plus an hour sleep to the daylight savings time. There's no way, and that's why no team has ever done it. It used to be a 1 o'clock start. This year it moved up to 11 for a better TV window, evidently. Physically, 4 games. That's why it's never happened in 30 years.
Well, let's do it. Let's dive a little deeper on that physical demand that you're talking about. Do you think it makes any sort of difference on, hey, we're Belmont. Put Belmont in you and I's situation just to for me to make this point here. Would it be more difficult for like a Belmont to have its legs to shoot and play the offense that it plays if it had to for 4 days, or more difficult for a team like you and I to keep its legs for 4 days to slide defensively and be elite as they are on defense, like Belmont on offense?
Well, great question, Cole, because I think when you get in this tournament, the reason why teams don't make it 4 days is because of the physicality of this tournament. So if Belmont's in that same slot as you and I, they wouldn't make it. They had a chance because their depth is so good. But the physicality, and they're a more physical team now, but they turn the ball over. When the games they've lost, they've had like 15, 16 turnovers. Northern Iowa is tops in the nation in least turnovers. It's going to be a low possession tournament. So the more turnovers you have, the more magnified they are because the possessions are less. That's why, like you and I think they got a chance to get there Sunday because their style of play of physicality, low possessions, and low turnovers. Can they make enough shots to do it? I don't know.
Okay, you like that question. I think you might like this one, too. Throw Trey Campbell out, okay? Throw Trey Campbell out. Who are the next two most reliable Panthers right now, Coach Lehman?
Will Hornseth, number one.
I agree.
Easy one. And I'm going to give you a caveat here. If Ben Schwager was healthy, he'd be number two. But he's got a bad foot.
Cop out Kevin.
So now,
there he
I
is.
I would say it.
Caveat Kevin.
I know why you posed the question, because there is not a number two.
Yeah.
That's consistent. It might be Weisbrod right now, lately shooting it,
yeah,
defending.
Maybe, yeah.
Controller deal, but, you know, he can't beat you off the balance. He's somewhat limited. When healthy, I think their most complete player is Ben Schwager.
As we sit here today on March 4th, one day ahead of Arch Madness, is Drake the, as of right now, the worst team down there?
No, I would have to say it's Evansville, although Drake is trending that way with they've lost 11. Nine in a row. They got a kid that can score.
A lot of teams got kids that can score.
Did I tell you about an argument about Jalen Quinn being my buddy who played at Drake thought he should be Jelly Bird MVP?
Oh, you told me about that.
They don't have reunions for teams. They know what they finished now. Ninth? You don't have reunions for teams that finish ninth.
I saw somebody tweet during the you and I Drake game, and I think it was just a Valley person, like, maybe like an Illinois State fan or something, like nobody who really had a horse in the race for the most part. And they're like, you know what? Drake lacks in talent. They make up for in a lack of effort. I was like, man. Oh, social media is a mean place. And I was like, that's mean, but I don't know how untrue it is.
Well, Eric Henderson, we know he's won before.
He seems like a good guy.
Great guy.
Yeah, like he's... I know Drake fans are fit to be tied right now, but like that, he sure seems like a guy that deserves, you know, the right shot to get it right.
Well, he's from Maquoketa Valley. I recruited him a little bit and not hard enough at Omaha, and he went to Wayne State in Nebraska, played for Mac, and beat me three times.
Well, if he was smart enough not to take your offer, then he's a good guy.
Have you been to Wayne, Nebraska, partner? They still have the stage on the side of the court.
No, because I know somebody who went to Wayne State, and that yeah. All I needed to do was hear the stories.
That's the place, Wayne, Nebraska.
Oh,
my first win as a head coach was Nebraska Omaha going to play Mac, my former player at Wayne State, in that gym with a. He literally sat on the side of the stage. I'm like, what the hell did I do? I left going to Tulsa and Creighton and Wichita State to go to Wayne, Nebraska.
That's that flat country out there, right?
Oh, yeah. That's coyote country. They hunt coyotes out there.
Yeah. You know what my grandpa always said about that part of the country is you could stand on a bucket and see the back of your head.
That's a good one. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to use that on air.
I'll do it, please. That's what I'm here for. Free of charge.
You're bashed on Drake a little bit here, though. That's the one team I've not called this year because ESPN doesn't send us down there if they're bottom half of the league. But I have not seen the Drake Bulldogs.
Well, the reason I do is because they got a healthier than most segment of their fan base that's irrational. So if some of those folks are listening, and I hope they are, I like to tease them.
Winning will do that too. Because remember, 10 years ago they called Thursday the Drake Invitational, and then Dr. Tom came in there, Nico and DeVries turned the thing around.
Yeah, Dr. Tom who's still alive, by the way.
Yeah, I heard that story too.
My goodness,
that's not a good one to break.
Yeah.
You better know your sources on that one.
You know what? It already wasn't a good broadcast before that happened, by the way, too. I don't know.
Well, I was busy. I was busy in Bradley.
I saw. I tuned in.
We had a pretty good game there.
Yeah, it was. It was a good game.
I get your take on Murray State, though. I mean, there's the outlier in this valley. This is the team with deep pockets. Went out and bought a team, and they faded. They started 8-0, won 14 in a row, 8-0 in the league, and then they fell off the cliff.
I mean, their defense is just so miserable that they could lose any game that they're going to play in this tournament. Their offense is powerful enough they could win any game that they're going to play in this tournament.
Well, here's an interesting, Cole. They have that NBA model, and the NBA model is shoot threes. So defensively, they lock at the three-point line, and they allow you to drive right down the gut all afternoon. And, the two-point percentage is the worst in the league, but they take away threes.
Well,
their own conundrum.
If you're not shooting threes well, go right at King, try to get him in foul trouble. They don't have anybody like him coming off the bench.
That dude's a monster, man.
He's great. He's a nice player.
But he's too nice a kid. I talked to Ryan Miller, the head coach. I said, he gets double teamed. He doesn't fight. He just throws it back out. He goes, he's from the Bahamas. He's a Yaman, laid back, nice kid.
Yeah, not all those post guys are cut out for working in heavy traffic. They just want to get the ball back out. And it's funny how you'll see really talented guys that they just immediately go to that. And he's one of them.
Every once in a while, he'll get one and rip the rim down. It's like, boom. Who is that dude? Get off the tracks. And then he kind of disappears again. But you know what else? Cole, you've seen them play. They forget about it. They get wrapped up on those trees and they forget to throw the ball.
Yeah, they keep wanting to run, pin downs and DHOs, and he's just standing there. He's just turning around at the top of the key, or he's just standing out there in the short corner because he knows that they're just running a pick so they can try and drive the lane or kick it out for a three. And I don't know. Sometimes it's like, I know I can sound like the old guy here, but it's like throw it on the block, first trip down, and if it works, just keep doing it until it stops working, especially when you got a guy like that.
Well, that's always my key when I do a Murray State game. Number one key is feed the beast.
Yeah.
And they don't feed the beast. Now, this will be an interesting matchup because UIC is a real physical team. We'll see if Murray State backs down. They've been a really bad second-half team, or if they can hold their own against the UIC, which has made a lot of noise in this league this year. They've really done well.
Casey Alexander is going to get Coach of the Year, but, honorable mention, co-coaches of the year, Powell and Rob Eason.
Well, they already announced that this morning. So Esan did come in second. And, yeah, Powell was third and Wardle was fourth in that voting. And I thought Wardle did a great job. He had the youngest team in the league. You know, those guys he had forever. Hannah, Duke Dean left. It was basically a brand-new team without any leadership at all. Juwan Johnson has come out of nowhere. Here's one for you. You'll like this one. So, you know, Brian Jones.
Yeah.
My former player at UNI, my assistant. He's on the staff at Bradley.
Yep.
Ken Palmer, somebody does where they analyze what a player's worth in the portal. Jaquan Johnson, according to those numbers, are worth between $1 million and $1.2 million at the next level.
No kidding. Well, good for him. Yeah. Go get your money, young man. Holy gifts.
Well, that's the problem with our mid-majors. Like, there's no way they can keep that young.
Hey, I'm telling you, if you're a mid-major and you don't have, call it a scout, that you just send to D2, D3, NAIA, and JUCO games throughout the basketball season, you're not doing it right. And I got my hand up right here saying, hey, I love what I do, but for the right amount of money. You, Ben Jacobson, Brian Wardle, you want to send me on the road to go watch college basketball? I love college basketball. You want me to write up reports on D2, D3, NAIA, and JUCO guys? Because you need those guys. I'm your guy. Like, like mid-major teams need to have this. Instead, they got the GM who knows somebody who knows somebody. And that's fine. Like, the GM's fine. But, like, you should have a guy instead of that extra assistant on the bench who does what? Like, the same thing the manager could do that's a junior where he's like, 24 came in for 4 during the timeout.
Well, to your point, Cole, after that Bradley game, I was visiting with the Forspoken Brian Jones. And remember Brian Martin coached at Coe?
Yeah.
Was at NIAC. He was actually with Jonesy staff North Dakota. He's at Western Illinois now. And he told me, to your point, he goes, yeah, I just spent the week watching the NAIA championship game. There's some dudes there that can play.
Yeah, exactly. I grew up 5 minutes away from William Penn NAIA school. Cole Henry's dad, John, coaches there. Always has dudes. Incredible athleticism on his teams.
Well, I used to call the NAIA championship when it was down there in College of the Ozarks. And, John Henry had his team down there. They had some cats that could play.
Yeah, exactly.
But, Brian Martin said there's me and, like, two other guys that are watching. Division I coaches watching. There's about 8 guys that could play.
Send me. I'm that much of a sicko. I'll watch it. I'll write the reports.
We'll send you with that bag of money.
That's fine. I need a per diem and a good salary. That's all I ask. It won't be as good as
Super 8, buddy. You'll be sleeping in Super 8.
That's fine. Let me use your Hilton points for crying out loud. I know you got them. Jeez.
I spent many a day in Super 8.
Oh, coach, get out of here. I got to run. Drive safe.
Hey, next week we'll talk about my trip to San Antonio in the Super 8 with my sons and 8 teenagers in one room.
All right. That's a great tease.
Yeah.
All right, Coach.
All right, buddy.
Take care.